I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Baldoni.
And I'm Robert Nicolescu.
And today is June 23rd, 2022. And we're back once again from our monthly hiatus.
It's summer now.
It's summer.
Welcome. It was spring last time.
It is. And it really is summer. Though today is less hot, which is nice. I'm not melting anymore.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. It must be really hot where you are.
It's been brutal. Luckily, I live under redwood trees, but when I go into town and stuff, it's just like, yeah, it's scorching.
Yeah.
But there's water here, so.
Oh, that's good. Yay. Yeah, it was like 95 2 days ago. And like even the store, you know, which is like a cave, it couldn't take it anymore. The cave collapsed. They got in.
I believe it. I have been there when it's... I used to bring my fan in to work just so it could be right by my face because it was so hot.
Like lean against the fan.
Yeah.
The comics start to curl. Like.
But that was during the pandemic. I was scared of, I was like, am I blowing COVID germs everywhere?
Now the COVID germs are just everywhere. Like you can't.
Yeah.
There's always blowing in your face.
it's like Poison Ivy in this issue where she's like blowing the
spores everywhere. Yeah, this is very apt for today.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. So Poison Ivy number one, written by G. Willow Wilson of Miss Marvel fame, which we'll get into as well a little bit later. Artist is Marcio Takara. We'll say Marcio.
Yeah.
And then colors by Ari Prianto and a bunch of other people also work on this. Ton of variants for this.
Yeah. I got the Anka Pride variant. I just thought it was a cool cover.
Yeah, Chris Anka. That's
good. Yeah.
I have two of these. I got the one in 25 because I thought it was so good by Nick Robles.
Oh, nice.
But the one I'm looking at right now is just the main cover.
Well, first, I don't know if you know this up top of your head. I didn't look this up. Is this Poison Ivy's first solo series? No. I assume she had something like.
Yeah, she's had a couple different series already.
Okay.
I think Amy. Oh my God, I'm going to blank on her name. Just Amy, we'll call her.
So, there has been one. Yeah. That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, she had a six issue miniseries just a few years ago.
Okay.
Which is really hard to find now because, of course, DC has put it out of print. But it was pretty
cool. I'm into this, and it's like, you know, for there being like 85 Batman books every month, it's like, why not give more of, it's like, it's not just Joker and Harley and Batman. Right. Like give all these villains, like give me a Mr. Freeze series, give me a, I don't know, Killer Croc, I don't know, you know, somebody like.
Yeah, because they did all those one shots for those villains not too long ago, but yeah, they were just one shots. So yeah, what are they all up to?
Yeah, flesh them out like this. Like, I mean, I definitely think that Wilson was pulling it. I mean, she's definitely like at least thinking of Alan Moore's Swamp Thing with this, like,
yeah, because they even mentioned Swamp Thing in this series.
Yeah, she says the Green Man, right? You're supposed to know who that is. I was like, that's cool. I like that.
Oh yeah, because they've teamed up before.
I mean, it would just make sense that they're like, she's kind of the like by any means necessary version of him. I don't think, but I mean, in Alan Moore's thing, he like takes over Gotham City. So it's like, if pushed to it, which is what I like. I like that they're symbols of nature, and it's like, nature doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's just because you dead is nature, you know, right. You're feeding the earth, you know?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like she has like some kind of disease, like a fungal disease.
Yeah.
Just kind of gross.
I mean, yeah, but she is like, I don't know what she's made of anymore, you know, like, is she part plant?
I think so. Yeah.
But it also seems like if that guy had shot her, she would like, there's a scene here in Wyoming with these like, I don't know, rednecks, for lack of a better term. And they like, she's like, I wish he had pulled the trigger. Like, so she's like borderline suicidal, but yeah. She has things to do.
Right. Cause she has basically just been in this like loving relationship with Harley.
Yeah.
For the past few years, basically. And, but now she's been overcome with like this fungal infection, we'll say. And so she had to leave Harley. She knows she's going to die.
Cause it would have spread to her.
It would have spread to her. Exactly. So she's on a deathly road trip, we'll say.
Okay. That makes a little more sense. I just, that little bit, I mean, like I kind of picked up on that, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes a lot more sense.
Right. And yeah, on her deathly road trip, she's encountered, yeah, some rednecks, and she, you know, she's Poison Ivy. She's never been a good guy.
No.
I mean, once in a while she's saved some people here and there, but like not really by choice.
I would say. No, it's always for nature.
Yeah, it's always for nature or by convenience. Yeah.
Because I mean, how I interpret her is like she literally actually views a person on the same level as a flower or a chipmunk, or it's like you're just a being of life. Because you're more complex, that means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which I love. And I love that. I mean, it's like, I don't feel like this is softening her either. I think a lot of like times where they explore villains, they do that, you know.
Right.
This is still her, like she doesn't really care like about any of these people, you know. She cares about nature and the people that she cares about, and that's it. And that's cool, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even like she has like her little almost like serial killer van, you know, except it has like a unicorn on it, which is awesome. And like in the van, she has people that she murdered.
Yeah, they're just like dead people in the back seat, like covered in fungus and stuff, but she doesn't bother her.
No, they're her plant people now, dead plant people.
Yeah, I did think of like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer or something. And I was like, that's a pretty crazy thing for me to be thinking of when I'm reading this Poison Ivy comic. Good job.
Yeah, I loved it. I love that it's more of like a horror comic.
Yeah.
And because it's very different from other DC books, especially right now.
And nature's scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
it is. Just go out into the woods and just keep going. You will be scared. Like, yeah.
And a lot of the Poison Ivy comics in the past, or like the miniseries, they over-sexualized her.
Sure.
And that last miniseries definitely did that, which is why I didn't like it very much.
Sure.
And this one is the opposite of that. You know, they have her just wearing like cargo pants and, you know, a t-shirt, or, you know, like a tank top or an oversized shirt.
Yeah.
The first time I think I've ever seen her dressed like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And yet still people try to sexualize her, like those men that she meets, you know, but it's like there's nothing, there's not even that air of like, well, look at you looking like that. It's like she's literally just sitting at a bar, like
she's
totally minding her own business. Right. Not even like dressed up or nothing. And it's just like, okay, you guys are creeps. I guess this is totally justified.
Yeah, minding her own business, having a beer, and they still do that to her.
I work in landscaping.
Yeah,
like flowers and stuff.
Yeah, sexy flowers.
Yeah. And yeah, she like socks that one dude in the face.
Yeah.
It's great. But yeah, like there's that one full page splash of her like fully like, I don't know, mutated out. And yeah, it's like
enveloped in the mushrooms or the fungus.
Hell yeah. And it's like make Poison Ivy a formidable, fearsome foe. Like, because she's always been interesting, but she's never been scary, at least to me.
Yeah.
And this direction is quite frightening.
Yeah, because she's talking about the mass extinction. Because that's, she feels like that's what's coming. So yeah, and that's what they're talking about. That's what she's bringing, is a whole lot of death. And like, as she covers everybody in these, this fungus, you even see like that maybe they're still alive after they're covered in this goo, this fungal goo.
So are they? Yeah, this guy. Fungal guy who's like colors. Colors,
yeah.
As he's dying, it's like, oh, you just, and it says this psilocybin induced light show, mm-hmm. but it's like, you must die or whatever, but you're just like tripping crazy balls. I mean, it makes sense.
So it doesn't like hurt them when they're dying, that they like just go into like an ecstasy almost, like,
yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice.
yeah, sure. I mean, you're still dying, whatever. Feeding the plants.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was super cool.
Yeah, so I'm definitely on board for Poison Ivy for this series. I'll definitely give number 2 a second glance.
Yeah. Definitely. And I like the art. I don't know if I mentioned that, but.
Oh, yeah. Art's really good.
Really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Which is a nice change from some of the other, you know, big twos that have been coming out recently.
Yeah, no, it's got a gnarly sort of quality to it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also from DC this week. Oh, I should mention too, they do like a DC Pride on the cover of Poison Ivy, because, you know, her and Harley have a relationship, a nice relationship.
That's on all of them? Okay.
Yeah, it's on all, well, yeah, on every one of the DC comics that came out this month that there is like a gay or lesbian relationship, they have like a pride little banner.
Oh, okay.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
Good job, DC.
Yeah. Mostly. Yeah. It's a fine pursuit, but I do have some issues with this our next book, which is, you know, called DC Pride 2022.
Right. So yeah, new stories, fan favorite characters, and more pride than ever before.
Yeah. What? I don't know. Okay. I got the Jen Bartel variant cover with Harley and Poison Ivy on it.
Oh yeah, great cover. We sold out of those.
Yeah.
We had a ton of them. It's a beautiful cover. There's also like a 1-in-25 foil variant, which is selling for a lot of money.
Cool.
And
covers like a wraparound or something, I think.
Yeah, there's a bunch of covers for this. I also just have the regular flag variant, which has all the colors of the rainbow. What is cool is that you do get to see like all of the characters that are in the gay pride family now of DC, which is a lot more than I actually thought.
I don't know what people are thinking, but it's, I'm all for it, make it, but it's just like, to me, the best way to show pride is to have amazing stories that happen to have, you know, queer characters. And it's like, some of these are pretty good and some of these feel very patronizing.
They're very forced.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think the first story is that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That one's like super forced.
Yeah. And, you know, I really like Nick Robles and Devin Grayson, who wrote this first story. And it's basically just about, you know, John, Superman's son, going to Pride with Robin, who is also gay, right?
Damien? I'm not sure. I don't know.
He is. So they're just going to go to Pride. And I don't know. Damien just kind of pisses me off in general. Whenever he's in a comic, I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. He's like a psychopath, but it's supposed to always be funny. But it's like, it's not funny anymore. No, like, I get it.
They really force in like that little quip about Stonewall. That's what it is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was absolutely shoved in there.
Oh yeah. They're like, make sure we get some history in here.
Yeah. It's, he's like, pride's going to be a riot.
Right.
Just like, what?
And John's like, you know, that hasn't happened since 1969. And I was like, oh God, here we go. And yeah. I thought, like, we're trying to create some kind of lesson in history, and maybe people don't know about Stonewall. And it's just like, I get it, but
it's a noble pursuit. Okay. All of this is towards a noble pursuit. I mean,
right.
Some of DC stuff does come off like a little like bandwagon-y too, you know, right. And maybe all of these issues, but sometimes bandwagon-y doesn't have to be a bad thing. Right. You know, I mean, yeah. It's still adding to this. And there is like cool moments. I mean, like, I think him with the rainbow cape mm-hmm. is like cool symbolism, you know? And then the moment where he's like, oh, I don't know, what would my dad think if I was on a float and he's like, and Damien, it's like the one thing that Damien, he's like, your dad would love it because it's you being you. And it's like, that's a still a very like, you know, chilling, nice moment.
I don't know. Does he even have to say that? Superman. Like, Superman loves everybody. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, we said this like a little bit off mic. It's like, on some level, these seem like pride stories for straight Wednesday warriors.
Right. Exactly.
It's a way to get them to dip their toes into this.
Sure. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but are those guys even buying this to read that, or are they just buying that for the cover? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe they are reading it, and maybe it does teach them something. And if so, great.
I mean, I hope so. Obviously, I hope so. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I hope all that stuff.
Yeah, too. The next story is Confessions with Nubia, who's, you know, a recent character to Wonder Woman family. And I love the art in this one by
Patrick.
Like, it is beautiful.
Both styles too, because it has like a little framing device where they're like talking, and then it like does a flashback story, but it's in the style of like a classic comic. I really like that stuff. But even the like painterly framing device art style is really good.
Yeah. And this story didn't bother me.
No, this was my favorite one. Like the all women wrestling match and Big Barda and stuff. Yeah. Like, it was just fun and cool.
Yeah. And that's what I like too. Just like, show a story with, you know, gay characters. Like, there was nothing forced. It's super fun. And yeah, like, that's all you need to do. Like,
yeah. Just tell a good story first.
Exactly. Be inclusive. Tell a good story. Yeah. And yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. And then, yeah, they show the two characters like kissing at the end. Real quick about that, like showing gay characters kissing. That's fine. You can do that, Buzz Lightyear.
There's like a controversy.
Okay. Yeah. There's like a big controversy over Lightyear right now. And people are all up in arms because they have two women kissing in that movie.
Oh. And,
yeah. They're like, your forced gay agenda in our kids' movies, blah, 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 blah.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So maybe if we show more of this type of stuff in comics in a regular story, like, maybe people will be, you know, less apt to like go crazy when they see that in movies, you know?
Yeah.
What other ones? I mean, there's so many. We don't have to go through every single one of them.
Yeah. For ones that stood out, I mean, which one is this? Not the next one, but the Batgirl story had pretty cool art, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fun looking. That would be Lin Yoshi, the Up at Bat story with Tamara Bonvillain colors. I don't have much, I mean, for the story, I mean, it was fine, but the art was cool.
I really like the Gumshoe and Green art.
Yeah, definitely.
Their mystery. Yeah, Teeny Howard. And Teeny Howard always writes a pretty good story. And then, yeah, Evan Cagle, who I don't really know. So this is a pretty new artist to me. And yeah, I thought this was beautiful. It's almost, it's like that black and white. And then it's just because it's a, you know, Green Lantern story, it just had these like flashes of green. Yeah. Yeah.
And wait for a Green Lantern, black, white, and green.
Yeah, right.
That'll be the first in the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked later in the book, the Harley Quinn Poison Ivy. I didn't care for the story didn't engage me really, them like training or whatever, but the art I thought was really cool by Zoe Thorogood.
Yeah, Zoe Thorogood. It really looks like a lot like Chris Anka a little bit. Yeah, yeah. So Zoe's really good. I've seen her stuff a lot.
And it's like sketchy and raw, and this, it almost looks like the coloring takes that away, but like if you did different coloring, this almost looks like it could be like old school comic art, like 80s right. or something.
Yeah. And it switches like Harley in and out of her like normal attire too. Sometimes she's in her like old school Harley suit, and then she's back in her like regular like Harley nowadays look.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, it's really cute.
And it, they are, this is not a insult at all. This is a compliment. The art is wonky.
Oh, like, yeah.
I love it. You know, I don't see that very often in modern superhero comics. They're always perfected, and the fact that this is allowed to be wonky is terrific. I would like to see more like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and they're having like a little battle and talking about like imposter syndrome and like all stuff like that. And yeah, it was cute.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess for me the best story is the last one that they end with. Mm-hmm. This is called Finding Batman. And it's written by Kevin Conroy, who we all know as the voice of Batman. The most, you know, I mean, he's the most iconic Batman.
Yeah, we've heard his voice probably the most over time since he was Batman for so long in the animated series and then in some movies and
Justice League shows, multiple shows. He shows up in the Superman show. He's the voice in the Arkham games, which are like crazy huge.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, this is his sort of story about being a young gay actor leading up to when he gets the part for Batman, and how his experiences as being a gay man led him to be able to embody the role. And as he puts it, it's like he was able to take, you know, his, you know, playing straight to the world as his, that's Bruce Wayne, and then Batman's the real him, you know, sort of thing. And it's like, it's all really cool, you know, especially if you grew up with that show, to, you know, it creates a ton of context for the show.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah, and it's a really heartfelt story too.
Yeah,
which is really nice. And yeah, you really, yeah, you really feel like connected to it, which is really different from the other stories.
Yeah, when he brings up Stonewall, I didn't roll my eyes.
Right, exactly.
He's like, it had just happened. Because it's like, oh yeah, you were like there.
Mm-hmm.
Not there at Stonewall, but
right, yeah.
In time. But yeah, and it gets, you know, it has a slur in it a couple times. That's what happened, you know, to him.
Exactly.
And of course, I mean, it's a happy ending because he's Batman to like everybody. I every Batman book I read, that's who's in my head. It doesn't, even if I read the 40s Batman, it's always Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Probably forever, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's the iconic voice. And he's a very nice man in real life too. I met him a couple times at Con.
I bet.
Okay. Lastly, we have issue one of The Closet. This is from James Tinian, art by Gavin Fullerton, and colors by Chris O'Halloran. So yeah, this is from the Tiny Onion Studio.
Yeah, Tinian, Tiny Onion.
Tiny Onion, very, very cool.
And this is a Image book.
Yeah, this is an Image book, but this is like from his, he does this like online or what is that? That studio now that it's like that web thing that all of those artists are doing and writers are doing. Oh my God.
Web, like a webtoon or something?
Not webtoon, but we can talk about webtoons later. It's that mail service that everyone's doing, the subscription service, mail service. Yeah, let's all send our comics by mail now.
It doesn't work out great. Yeah. I'm in the middle of that now. I'm like, oh yeah, people don't want that.
Yeah. So basically everyone signs up and you can actually just like read them all online if you pay a subscription service. I actually don't want to link it because then people might do that and not come shop at the store.
For sure. So this was originally there, but now it's being a print comic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, like Snyder has like a big one. Jeff Lemire is doing it. Like all the big names are Hickman has one. They're all kind of getting into this so they can make more money and, you know, print more comics, I guess, this way.
Yeah. We'll generate interest prior to a print run to see how many you want to print, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure we live in like the statistics world, right? Where it's like you get to see, okay, 26 to 35 males like my book, or, you know.
Exactly.
All that stuff is super helpful.
Right. And you get like exclusive covers and stuff like that when you sign up. Jen Bartel has one too. So they're all doing stuff like that right now. That's where this started and where it came from.
It's more horror from Tinian.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because I don't think we sold quite a few of these, but I don't think we sold as much as we would have if it was maybe the first run of it. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that, but yeah, I mean, if there was another way, you know, I don't know if I would have bought this. I probably would have bought this if I had flipped to the page that shows the monster, because that's just so cool. But
yeah. Oh yeah, so here's another one. Yeah, Blue Book. Yeah, like in the back it even says bluebook.com. So you can get more exclusives there. Substack, that's what it's called.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Now I know.
So now y'all can go to Substack and.
I thought it was a pretty good little beginning to a horror story.
Yeah, I mean, we all know he knows how to write a horror comic. He's no stranger to it. And this is good. Basically, starts off with a guy, you know, drinking at a bar. He's moving out of town. Just having one last drink or three.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty unlikable protagonist. Which good. I mean, you know, I don't like him, but you know, that's good for them for doing that,
right?
Because this guy, like, yeah, he kind of sucks. He's yeah. drinking while he's supposed to be out getting packing tape for the move,
right?
And he gets a bunch of drinks, and then he shows up with what, a bunch of masking tape.
Yeah. He doesn't even get the right tape. He's very whiny.
Yeah. And like, even when he's with his kid, like there's the whole thing where his kid's afraid of the closet. That's really what, I mean, the comics, the closet, it's because there's a monster in there. And then like, he's talking to the bartender. The bartender tells him that thing about like the unicorn piss. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the point there is true though, where it's like when a parent takes the child's fear seriously, and then when they're like, I can dispel it, you believe it. I remember as a kid, my mom gave me like, I had horrible nightmares like all the time. And she gave me like little totems. You know, one was a Dino, like from, you know, the Flintstones, like, you know, and it was just, she was just like, if this is by your bed, you won't have nightmares. And it purely because I believed they right. did go away, you yeah. know, and it,
yeah, it's all on your that, it,
hmm?
It's all in your subconscious.
Exactly. And yeah, he tries that with his kid, but it's just like so half-assed. Like,
yeah, he takes like a glass of water because he's like, first asks his wife, do we have any empty spray bottles? And she's like, no, everything's packed up. Like,
yeah.
And so he just like, the kid watches him fill a glass of water in the sink, and it's like, he's like, I saw you. I saw you put the water in the glass. Yeah. Like, no, it's unicorn piss. And the kid's like, no, it's not. Like, so yeah, he just kind of does everything half-assed.
And I mean, he's drunk showing up for that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, the monster is real. But I mean, what I did learn, you know, from R.L. Stine is always, if you have a child and it's horror,
right,
distant parents, there's nothing scarier than that. And it's like, if we are going to follow this kid, maybe in the next one.
Yeah.
Showing how, because I mean, the mom doesn't seem awesome either. Just, they just seem distant. You know? Yeah.
She seems very fed up.
Yeah. But yeah, the art's good in the story, I think.
Yeah, it's nice and creepy. It kind of reminds me of Paul Azazeta.
Okay. I don't know.
He worked with Kirkman.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it has that nice, like, thick, heavy lines and a lot of black. Yes, and once it gets to, like, the monster in the closet, it really looks like an alien.
Yeah, I don't know what it's evoking to me. Like, I mean, it does look like an alien, but it was like, it felt like very familiar. Mm-hmm. But I could never put my finger on it. But yeah, it's very freaky, shadowy. It doesn't look like it has any eyes, just has teeth.
Yeah.
Maybe it has eyes. I don't know.
Doesn't look like it.
Disturbing little creature. But I do think it's a good sort of like intro, and it ends, you know, this is just the first issue. It's going to go elsewhere, so I'll spoil it. But it like ends with like, it's coming with us.
Yeah. It went into the little box, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just climbed into that box to move with them.
Very creepy. Yeah. I thought of the book Cujo, because the beginning of the book, it's like sort of a quasi-sequel to The Dead Zone, where the police officer Frank was like a serial killer, and then he kills himself with like a pair of scissors and dies. But then like in the book, it's not in the movie, Frank, the evil serial killer, is like in the kid's closet like as a monster, and then possesses Cujo. Like, it's not just rabies that gets into Cujo, it's like the rabies was a way for Frank to like take over this dog. And I just thought of like the kid's interaction with the closet and stuff. I mean, obviously we've seen closet horror, but you know, it did seem the beginning of Cujo. I'm sure Tinian's read it.
Yes, I'm sure he has. Yeah, I just think he looks like a little xenomorph, like a little humanoid xenomorph. That's what I got from him. But like creepier, like a creepy little ET xenomorph.
Yeah.
Hiding in the closet like ET.
His stance is very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the subtleties they show, like his little feet are like very creepy.
Yeah, and he like climbs up on the bed too.
Yeah, no, it definitely, I mean, it brought up lots of classic sort of horror stories to me.
Oh, you know, yeah.
The doll with the long green fingernails.
Ugh. Yeah.
that is a disturbing, that was like the scariest story in the world to me when I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah. Anything with dolls, I was just like, nope.
I want red nails.
Yep, so another good one from Tinian.
Yeah,
definitely check out issue two.
Yeah, he's killing it.
He is, yeah. And if y'all aren't reading A Nice House, definitely pick up the first trade of that. It's very good.
Oh, it's awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll do some news.
There's sure.
A lot going on. Well, just some shows that you should be watching for sure. As you probably all know, Miss Marvel dropped a couple weeks ago. I think they're on episode 3 that just came out on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got to catch up, but I really enjoyed episode 1 quite a bit.
Episode 1 was really, really good. And I didn't think I was going to like it like at all, just because of from the trailer. The trailers like made it look almost like cheap to me. I think because I saw her costume, and then like once you watch the first episode, you find out she's cosplaying.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, it's awesome. Like, I mean, obviously the young characters have a special place in all of this. You know, it's like Peter Parker was that guy. He's not going to be that guy anymore because he's in a different place now, right? He's an adult. He's graduated. But, you know, America Chavez in, I mean, I loved her. Like, she was magic. And then Miss Marvel really hasn't been able to stretch yet. But, like, I also just, but the fact that she's a fan, it's the first time where it's like, she knows everything. She knows about all these things. She wasn't there. She read about it. Maybe she read even a comic adaptation of the battle against Thanos, you know, or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And it's what's really cool too is like how the actress that plays her, her name is Iman Vellani. She was a huge comic fan before the movies or before the show. And she wasn't an actress like at all. Wow. So there was an open casting call for the show, and she like it was like her aunt on WhatsApp, because it's like really big in like the, you know, Pakistani community, like sent her like the link to the show, and she said in an interview she thought it was fake. First of all, she's like, this is a scam, auntie, like this isn't real. And she's like, oh no, it is, it's real. So she sent in just like a quick video of herself like doing the lines, and like use like a voice modulator to do like the other part. They called her back like that night and flew her out to LA the next morning. Like it was like a dream, you know, come true, like for her. And yeah, she got the part, like not even being like a professional actress or anything.
Awesome.
Just being a fangirl, which is such a cool, cool thing.
You that's know? A magical, that's just a magical story. The history of nerddom and comicdom and all that stuff. That's
absolutely. And the fact that she had read all the comics and she knew the part like so well. And yeah, what I really liked about the show too is they really did capture like the home life of Kamala.
Yeah.
It felt like it was just from the pages of the book. And then having and her friendships too, like that was like so dead on.
Yeah, when it first came out, we were texting about it, and I was just like, I think this is like my favorite first episode of any of the Marvel TV stuff.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, that's because it focused on character development, and it really is that. It's like, I was less interested once she got powers.
Yeah.
I just wanted to like watch her story, and it's like, you know, I wasn't expecting that either.
You know? Yeah, not at all. Yeah, like when a show like at the end of the episode makes you feel like so good, or you're just like smiling, you know, at the end, like, you know, they've done a really, really good job.
Yeah. If you looked at the Marvel card of this show, you look on the back, the stats, it'd be like charm is just like through the roof.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Not charmed though, not like the series charm.
No, just charm. This is just, it's just so charming. She's charming. Her friends are.
Right.
Like, I mean, the animated graffiti is like one of the just dopest things that they've ever done.
Oh, yeah,
I was so stoked.
She actually just draws in the show, right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, they put all those cartoon like animated elements like throughout. And it works so well. It almost reminded me of like the Miles Morales stuff too.
Yeah.
Like,
but in live action, which is
live
crazy.
Action. Yeah.
And it's very New York. It feels very New York.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Or she in Jersey. Jersey.
Jersey, yeah. She goes to New York, though, right?
I think that's where the con is,
where the
right?
con is, yeah. Which is super fun as well. And, yeah, like, the only... If I'm going to have to, like, pick a very small issue, which I know I like seeing some spoilers, is going to be... So how she gets her powers, right?
Yeah, that was all a little strange.
Yeah. And so she gets, in the very first episode, she gets a bracelet from her family. And this is like how she adds on to like an element of her like costume, because she's going to be cosplaying Captain Marvel.
She needed some flair to her costume.
Right. It has to be like a piece of her to add.
Yeah.
And so she gets this bracelet, and this is how she's going to get her powers. And we all know that Miss Marvel in the comics is an Inhuman.
Sure.
So we're waiting for this like Terrigen Mist, which is, so we know that it is part of the Marvel Universe now, because in Agents or
Black Bolt was in Doctor Strange.
Right. So we know that's all valid, right? Like, it's all canon.
Or even if they were trying to move away from the Inhumans, she could be a mutant, but she's not that either.
But yeah, I mean, and they've had the Terrigen Mist in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. So I don't know. And that is canon. So technically, right?
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know why. Why did they? I mean, I'm assuming that they're trying to move away from, because they did launch that Inhuman show, right? And I don't think it went. Yeah. And so I think that putting him in the movie was just like this is like a send off, guys. Like, it feels like they're not going to get into the Inhumans anytime soon to me. Cause that was they were gearing that up when they didn't have the X stuff. Right. And it seemed like they were like, okay, well, we don't need the mutants. We'll just make everyone Inhuman.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they put them in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's why they use that Inhuman show.
Yeah.
But then that bombed so bad. They're like, pull it back.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Back. Well, the Eternals or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
But then putting him in the movie and Doctor Strange seemed like, oh, well, maybe we will use them again. But then, putting Miss Marvel and now using that bracelet and they're like, we're not going to do the Terrigen Mist. It doesn't really make sense. It's like, that seems so easy. It's like she just has to walk around Brooklyn, Terrigen Mist happens, she turns into an Inhuman. It's very simple.
Yeah.
But instead, they're doing this thing that it's going to be some like ancient history from her past, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but
do you want to know my theory on all this stuff?
Yeah,
right. In the comics, Shang-Chi, he's just the most badass motherfucker in the world. He's just the best martial artist, right? In the movie, what is it? These items,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
With her, they took her power, it's unique to her. Mm-hmm. Now it's an item,
right?
They know now that these people are gonna leave. They're not going to be here forever.
Yeah.
So if the powers are tied to a person, it can't continue. But if they're tied to an object, well, as we see with Jane Foster, Chris Hemsworth doesn't need to be here further to be a Thor. The hammer can be wielded by whoever it can be wielded by, and then you have a Thor.
Yeah.
Legend of the Ten Rings, someday Simu Liu won't be here, but the rings will be passed on. And I'm thinking that's the same thing with this bracelet. It's like, I think it's unfortunate that the capitalist system of it is doing that and feeding the story that way. But I do think that that's what's going on. Like,
that makes sense. But that, I mean, you can just say the same thing about Terrigen Mist, right? Like, all you need is mist, and then they turn into an Inhuman, or they don't and they die. Like, right? So yeah, it doesn't really make sense to me why you would have to change that unless you just really are like, want to stay away from Inhumans because that show bombed that badly.
I'm assuming it's a little bit of the both, you know?
Like, I mean, I get wanting to like take that part of the comic out where she like turned into a blonde hair, blue eyed girl.
Sure. Yeah.
they did not like that. But
we'll get Inhumans in Fantastic Four number 6, you know, like, Johnny will go meet Crystal.
Yeah.
And they'll do all that and it'll be like, whoa, Black Bolt.
Yeah.
It's been 30 years.
Yeah. Then I'll be a completely different actor too. Cause Anson Mount was his name. He'll be very old.
Yes.
All right. So, but yeah, everything else, that is literally my only gripe. It's very small. Though I do hear in episode 3, they reveal what her, you know, power source is, and people are not happy about it. So we get there.
We'll see. Yeah. It did seem like it was kind of like a Green Lantern ring thing.
Yeah, it gets. No, I unfortunately saw the spoiler today, and it's not that.
I'll keep watching.
Yeah, keep watching. So yeah, but Miss Marvel, a great first episode. Happy.
Yeah.
Other new things, obviously Obi-Wan. The last episode was just up on Wednesday. I have not watched it yet. You've only watched episode 1,
mm-hmm.
right? Which episode 1 I thought was really great. Not the movie, episode 1.
No, it's not. I rewatched that. It's not. Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's just this Star Wars. It's always this weird thing where it's like, I fundamentally disagree with the idea of the show. Like, I don't want I don't need that. I go to the new reaches of the universe, but it's executed so well,
right,
that it's like, okay, well, I can get into this, but it's like, yet still, I don't want a Boba Fett show, even though I loved Boba Fett, you know, like I thought the show was awesome, but it's like, I don't need that. Give me a new Jedi, a new section of the universe, a new
planet. We're gonna do that. They are doing that soon. We'll have every Star Wars thing ever.
Yeah. And then I'll be complaining about something else.
Yeah. And I mean, I liked the first episode a lot. I think Leia can get a little, you know, annoying sometimes, but
yeah. But that is what she would be.
That's what she would be. Yes. I mean, it does get a little worse. You're like, stop running away all the time. Like, why are you doing that? Like, just let her get kidnapped. But which she does several times. Yeah. And then I guess my biggest problem, with Vader, like who comes in, you know, you'll see there's some choices that he makes that you're like, that just went, why does that happen?
Anytime they touch Vader in any of the extended stuff, it's always like iffy. Like I've put down Star Wars novels because I'm like reading half a page of a Vader speech and I'm like, dude, he doesn't do that. Like he doesn't give speeches or monologues. He can barely talk. Like I'm just like, I'm gonna close that book. Like
yeah and this is no different where he's at. And I mean, thank God James Earl Jones is still alive and he can still voice him. And I did find out this interesting fact. This is not a spoiler at all. Hayden Christensen is not actually playing him at all.
They made a big deal of that.
Like, it's literally because he's not tall enough to play him. Yeah. So it's just somebody else in the suit. So it's like, what is Hayden Christensen actually doing? I mean,
he's just
like,
going to show up when they pull the helmet off in like episode 4.
Yeah, I guess you do see that. Like, you see him with the helmet off at some point. And then you finally do see him with Obi-Wan. I think it's in episode 3. And I was like, oh, there he is. Like, finally. And then I felt bad because I was like judging him the entire time. I was like watching very closely. I'm like, oh, is he going to be okay? Like, is he good? Like,
oh, leave that poor guy alone. He wasn't the problem.
He wasn't. No, and he wasn't.
He really wasn't.
He was much better in this scene, but I did feel really terrible because I was extra judgy.
See, in rewatching them, I was like, oh, I like this guy. And everyone's bad.
Everyone's like, terrible.
Ewan McGregor's a great actor. We know that. He's like pretty wooden in those movies. Natalie Portman, great actor. She is
awful.
Annie. Yeah. Like, it's just like off. So it's like, I literally have no idea of what Hayden Christensen's capabilities are as an actor because I've only seen him in those.
Yeah, I've seen him in a couple other movies and he was fine. Like, he was totally fine. He played a serial killer in this other movie and he was terrifying.
He'd be good. I mean, I do, he plays Sinister well. Like, he pulls all that stuff off in those movies really good, where you're like, right away you're like, this guy's weird.
Yeah.
This guy's off.
Yeah. But just seeing him in that role again, it's hard because I just have so many terrible flashbacks.
For sure.
Like, no!
Yeah, I was fascinated that it's like, okay, so this Ms. Marvel show I'm loving and I'm not the target audience. And then this Obi-Wan show, I'm so the target audience. Because like, I was a little kid for the 1, 2, and 3. Like, I think I was like 14 when the third one came out.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't nearly resonate as much as this like new thing, you know?
Yeah. And like, yeah, I'm obviously a target audience for Star Wars just because I love Star Wars so much.
Sure.
Too, but I can't stop picking it apart. Like, I wanted to love it like so much. And it's just, there's just so many bad choices in it. Like, there's a lot where I'm just like, that's not what would happen. Like, what is this lazy writing, guys? So just keep watching. You'll see what I'm saying. I'm not going to spoil it, but holy shit.
Yeah, the one I'm stoked the most for is the Ahsoka show. I don't know anything about her except for her one appearance. Like, I didn't watch Clone Wars or anything, but that to me speaks new direction. Something new, like,
right,
you know, and maybe getting to the more mystical side of all this.
Sure, too. Yeah, I am excited for that too. I don't care about this Rogue One show really because I'm like, they're all going to die. Like, I don't need to, there's nothing. No. Yeah, that's all finalized. So
the war part is my least favorite part of Star Wars.
Yeah,
I like the stars and the magic.
Right. Me too. Yeah. I want to see more about the Jedis. Like
space wizards. Give me that.
Yes. Absolutely. Also in the news today. So there's going to be a Thunderbolts movie. Nobody asked for this, but apparently that's what's happening.
We could tell that they were kind of building a Dark Avengers. Now we know that it's going to be a Thunderbolts. We're going to get I forget the Captain America.
Agent X. No, that's all right.
Yeah, what was his name? I don't know. John? He's like John or something.
John is his name.
That guy, the guy who killed a guy, killed a kid. That guy, and then Florence Pugh, the White Widow, I guess. And then who else? I think one other one's been set up, but I mean, we kind of know the beginnings of the team.
Right. Yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to lead them all.
Thank God. I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, she's...
Which is fun.
I'll watch anything with her. She's the greatest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But they're like, calling it the Suicide Squad. U.S. Agent, that's what it is. I'm like, Agent X. Yeah. Agent X is fucking Rob Liefeld's character.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll also join.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I want the pouch, though.
Oh, yeah. He'll have lots of pouches.
No, the character, the pouch. The pouch.
John Walker is his name.
There we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
There's potential there.
There is potential, sure. I just hope they give him a different mask, because I really, every time I see it, they just, his ears like really stick out. I want to just cover his ears. I mean, I want him to be able to hear, but it's just really, every time I look at it, I'm like, I'm so silly looking.
The whole helmet thing, I mean, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's going to be an adaptation, a movie. I thought it was going to be a show. I'm actually surprised it's going to be a movie.
Yeah, I guess they, I mean, that will be, I guess he'll be ascending to movie, but then I'm like, who are they fighting? Like all that stuff. I have a lot of questions, and I am interested, you know, because this is all, would also be, we've had a show about a villain or a gray character or a couple gray characters, right?
Yeah.
Wanda and Loki, but we haven't had a movie focused on dark or gray or just bad people. And that will be interesting to see. Is this part of this, you know, because it seems like they're diversifying, right? The Marvel Universe was going for everybody, and now we're getting kid stuff, and then we're also going to be getting more adult stuff.
Yeah. They and have will... that pin you set up on Disney Plus now that, like, you have to enter a pin.
Exactly. But will Thunderbolts be, and I mean, Doctor Strange was super gnarly. So it's like, will Thunderbolts be more in that vein? I'd say obviously, and it might be, you know, them testing that, or who knows? Because like that, if they do a Deadpool movie and it's R, maybe Thunderbolts will be R.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not, but.
Maybe not. Yeah. This is pretty funny, though. So apparently Wyatt Russell is the guy who played John Walker. Mm-hmm. And they announced this, and then they got a quote from him. And apparently he had no idea, he said, that they were doing this. He's like,
oh, no.
I didn't even know this was happening. And he said he really didn't know. This is a quote. I quote, "No, I really didn't know. You know, I'm not a moron. I mean, I know what they're thinking, but you know, this was shot in like 2019. And that's when we started shooting. So that's like 3 years ago that I played this character. It came out later that year or whatever, but that was like a long time ago."
So he sounds like a real person, first of all.
Yeah.
Who's just like, I'm in a machine that I don't know what's going on.
Right.
And it sounds like that's what it is, where it's like, you know, I mean, that's when the machine's this big, it seems like there's a lot of oversight, and that does seem like major oversight.
Oh yeah, major. They didn't even get the main actor like signed on for it yet, and they're like, announcement, and he's like, what?
Or it's like you orchestrate it where they get a call an hour after it's announced. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like, okay, because we don't want you to spoil it. We announced it, but like now you're getting a call. Hey, we're doing this thing.
Right. Or they didn't call the US agent, but they called his agent who hadn't called him yet.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Anyways, are you US all excited about agent. Thunderbolts? I don't really care either way, but I'm sure we'll get a lot of people at the store looking for Thunderbolts comics now.
Yeah.
Good luck. They were all in the dollar bin like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
yeah. So that's pretty much it. For
we must a moment for you know, Tim Sale, who we recently lost. Too young, very sad. One of the great legends of comics, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Condolences to his family. I mean, he was definitely one of my favorite artists. I mean, Long Halloween will always be one of my favorite Batman stories of all time, for sure.
For sure.
Obviously, continue to recommend it to everybody who ever wants a Batman, like a great Batman story.
I put it into 15 pairs of hands at least.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't even count how many times I've recommended that book.
And yeah, I mean, even I know Christian Bale was a huge Tim Sale fan, and he would look at his poses before he had to go do a Batman pose and stuff on set.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was most taken by Tim Sale's art and kept those on set and would like look at them before a cool Batman pose that he had to do.
That's awesome. Yeah, and he was a really nice guy. And yeah, 66, like way too young. And yeah, losing this many greats like in such a short amount of time, like what a hard hit to the community too.
Oh, it's super hard. I mean, I just think, you know, if you read comics, it's, you know, it's just more reason to show these people's work to people or anyone's work, you know, like,
yeah,
really recently I've heard a couple people like tell me like, hey, you got me. I'm like, I'm down the road now on comics. And I'm like, so stoked about that. You know, like my friend started, he's reading the Ninja Turtle stuff. He'd never read comics. Now he's like going down the road. You know, I've gotten like my girlfriend, her coworkers, and it's like, that's the message here. It's like, just keep spreading that stuff, you know, show people the stuff you love. And if you make comics, buckle down and we'll do fucking better, you know, like do your best work because these guys aren't here.
Yeah. And we're in some hard times right now too. I know everyone's also buckling down money wise.
Sure.
So yeah, just keep supporting comics and the arts, and we will do our best to do the same on our end.
Yeah.
And thanks so much for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. And we will also try to do our best to keep putting episodes out. It's been hard the last couple months.
Yeah, we'll get back onto a regular schedule.
Yeah, we will try to do that. And maybe do a movie episode soon, too, because everyone keeps asking us about it.
Oh, what's cool.
The next movie episode? Yeah. And so I think
I'm thinking the Doctor Strange. ABC.
Absolutely.
It sounds like that's the direction we need to go.
Oh yeah. I can't wait to watch that one.
I think it just got like a Blu-ray or DVD release, actually.
It did. It is still just on YouTube too, so we can just watch it.
Okay.
There.
Yeah. But yeah, like the fact that they're bringing that out, that's
crazy. I know,
crazy.
I can't believe that. So yeah, if y'all want to watch Doctor Strange, the original 70s version,
yeah.
Definitely take a gander at that, and then you can join us on our mystical adventure.
Yeah.
Oh, also, we just got a ton of Doctor Strange and Strange Tales in at the store too, so if you want to pick up any of those, come to the store.
Go get weird. This ain't my first weird trip, kid. Proceeds to throw up.
All right, thanks so much. This has been Jessica Balboni. Oh, plugs.
Yeah, I'm Robert Negowesco. You can follow me on Instagram at @robert_negoesco. I post my comics work there, updates on all the stuff I'm working at, and then if you search that name on YouTube, that's my YouTube page. I post podcast, other podcasts, videos, all sorts of cool stuff. So those are the two best spots to keep in touch with me.
Mm-hmm. And you can follow the store at Escapist Comics. I'm not going to spell it. Y'all figure it out. Or follow me at Jessa Balboni, JessaBalboni, on all my social medias. Also follow the store at TikTok or, you know, all the other places.
It's all the places.
All the places. All right. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.